In order to build a successful championship contender, you need to have your foundational five set. Does Florida? We'll talk about it here on Locked On Gators.
You are Locked On Gators, your daily podcast on the Florida Gators. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Locked On Gators, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks for making Locked On Gators your first listen of the day. We're available daily and free wherever you listen to podcasts. Happy Tuesday. Yeah, geez, days are hard. I'm Brandon Olson. Find me on Twitter at WNS_Brandon. Find my written work with Whole Line Sports, Giants Country, NFL 33. And we're going to talk today about the Foundational Five, which, if you were here last year, you know what I'm talking about, where I think last year I just called them the pillars or the building blocks, something like that. But now we got Foundational Five is what we're going to call them. The Foundational Five is that there's not a theory, but a school of thought that is, if you are set with a star player or a solid, very good player at these five positions, then your team will likely find success that season. Those positions being quarterback, obviously, wide receiver, offensive tackle, pass rusher, and cornerback. So there's that where you've got those five positions and how Florida ranks up with them. And I've got some opinions. We're going to look at how Florida looks at them now and how Florida will look at those positions in the future, because you got to always be thinking forward, right? First off, at quarterback, you've got Graham Mertz, who is coming from Wisconsin. He's the guy where, honestly, I'm going to say I am not including him as a success for this foundational five. It's just not what I'm doing. There's a bit of an unknown, and like I spoke about a few times last week, there's too much projection for me to say that I am comfortable saying he is that. And I'm not saying he can't be. He can be. I am saying he can be. But I will say that I am not going to pencil him in as, yes, he hits the foundational five marker. So not off to a great start. He's someone that, again, I think he can be. But based on what we saw from Wisconsin, while I do think he'll be considerably better in Gainesville than he was in Madison, Wisconsin, what he put on tape in Wisconsin wasn't super promising. So I'm not going to put him there. Wide receiver, you could argue Xavier Henderson, but I think most of us acknowledge it's Ricky Pearsall is the best wide receiver on this team. And I think that he is underrated. I know a lot of Florida Gators fans love him, but I know that national media has not been super high on him. When it was, oh, Ricky Pearsall might declare for the NFL draft, we even saw a lot of Florida Gators fans go, oh, okay, he's not good enough for that. He is. Okay, I want to make that very clear, especially in what's generally thought of as a weak NFL draft class at receiver this year. Ricky Pearsall would be killing it. So Ricky Pearsall is the first guy for the foundational five that I am including as a success. Again, I think he is a true foundational building block player. And I understand it's also weird to talk about building block and foundational in college, because you have these guys for like at most 4, maybe 5 years if they've got a COVID year. But for the sake of this, we're counting it for 2023. Ricky Pearsall's a foundational player. Then, and also I will say, wide receiver is probably the one that it's probably the foundational building block that I value the least. Just because one wide receiver isn't going to get you to a playoff. One wide receiver isn't going to get you in the NFL to the playoffs. In college, one wide receiver is not going to carry you to a bowl game, really. That's just because you still have to have the quarterback that can get them the ball, which I think Graham Mertz can do. I don't think Graham Mertz is horrible. I just don't think he's, you know, foundational. But Ricky Pearsall and wide receiver, that's the one that I value the least, just because you need multiple valuable wide receivers. And there's so much wide receiver talent now on the planet that it's probably the easiest one to just plug and play guys, which is why I don't include them, or why I don't consider them the most valuable one. They're the least valuable one to me. Offensive tackle is one that I do value a lot, especially when you consider that the other side of the foundational building block is a pass rusher. So you need to have that offensive tackle who is usually going to be dealing with that pass rusher. A lot of people will tell you edge rusher is the foundational building block. Disagree. But offensive tackle, Austin Barber is the guy that I have listed as the foundational building block here. And I think he's great. You know, if I'm not mistaken, last year I said we did not have that in Richard Garage or Michael Tarquin. I said we did not have a foundational building block player at offensive tackle. This year, I think we do. I understand Austin Barber's a bit of a projection. That's the thing that's different for me with Graham Mertz and Austin Barber. Graham Mertz is a huge projection. Austin Barber, we saw him play pretty consistently last season, and he did a pretty damn good job. And this coaching staff is very high on him. And you know how I feel about this coaching staff, specifically on the offensive line. Think they do a hell of a job. So Austin Barber is a guy, even though one of them has me blocked, Austin Barber is a great young player. He does have eligibility after this season. He is also NFL draft eligible. That's important to note for when we talk later. But then flipping to the defensive side of the ball, pass rusher, which again, like I said, a lot of people will tell you edge rusher. You don't need that. Like, it doesn't need to be an edge rusher. You just have to have that pass rusher. Because here's the thing. Aaron Donald is listed as a defensive end, but same way that Jervon Dexter was listed as a defensive end, but he was really playing defensive tackle last year. That's what Aaron Donald does. Are you going to tell me that Aaron Donald is not a foundational football player because he plays interior defensive line, even though he's one of the best pass rushers to ever grace the planet? Same thing with J.J. Watt when he was in Houston, what he was in Arizona. You going to tell me that? Because I don't think you're going to tell me that. Died then. So pass rusher is what we're focusing on. Princely Omonmielen. Yes. Yes. 1,000 times yes. Like, I think that he is truly great. And I've told the story before. Like, I've said it to you. I've had multiple people who work in the NFL, who cover NFL teams, who are in, whether they're media or working with an NFL team, have told me, hey, and they asked me after the season, hey, is 33 declaring? Because that guy's awesome. And I'm very glad that he did not declare, but he probably will after this season. Before 2023, absolutely a foundational building block. And then the last one is corner. Jason Marshall Jr. is obviously the guy that we're going to talk about here. I'm on the fence about him. So I'm going to say Florida has three guys that I am definitively are saying, yes, foundational building block players. Maybe a fourth one in Jason Marshall. Depends on how he progresses and develops from last season. Because I realize I'm generally thought of as lower on Jason Marshall than a lot of people. I don't think I'm that low on him. I've said this same thing every time I give a critique or praise about somebody. I'm like, hey, I'm just being honest. Jason Marshall, I truly believe, does still have the skill set, ability, and potential to be a very good outside cornerback. Okay? But he's shown inconsistencies throughout his career. And again, I still think he could be very good. I just don't think he's ever going to be as good as some Gators fans want him to be, which again, isn't his fault. That ain't on him. So yeah, Jason Marshall is the one I'm on the fence about. But so far for 2023, Florida's got three, maybe four of their five foundational building blocks for 2023. So that's a pretty good start. I understand that you're looking at this and it's like, well, we don't have all five. And the thought is you need all five in order to be a truly successful franchise, program, whatever. We've got three or four of the five, with the one that's definitively not for me being the guy that's a complete unknown in this offense. So I know that it's not ideal, but I personally am pretty comfortable rolling into this season with this setup and the surrounding talent around Graham Mertz, because of course, quarterback success is also very heavily weighed by the surrounding talent. But we are about to take a look at who else is on roster for the future of the Foundational Five. But first, today's episode of Locked On Gators is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, which, by the way, I don't know if you know this, America's number one sportsbook. And new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's up to $1,000 in bonus bets back if your first bet does not win. You download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, super easy to use. And I don't know if anybody saw this. I tweeted it out the other night. I think it was Friday or Saturday. But I tweeted it out and I was like, you want to know why FanDuel is one of my favorite sponsors? Because they pay me and then they pay me more. I've been making a mint off of March Madness. The boost they give, incredible. Kansas State over Michigan State. Banged UConn covering a 3.5-point spread over Arkansas. Banged. I parlayed them together and I made myself a nice chunk of change. So I was pretty damn happy about that. Go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That is FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Thanks again for making Locked On Gators your first listen of the day. We're available daily and free wherever you listen to podcasts. And now we're talking about who is on roster at the foundational five spots in 2024. Now, keep in mind, I am saying on roster for 2023, which means that as in they're on roster right now, or they will be on roster this fall, and then they're going to be on the roster most likely next year as well. So that means no DJ Lagway in here. We will talk about DJ Lagway in the next segment, but for now, no DJ Lagway on here. So I don't want to hear that because obviously the first position we're talking about is quarterback. And obviously, that's a no from me. It could be Graham Mertz because he has 2 years of eligibility. Could be Jack Miller, although I don't think it is. And we'll talk about that in a second. Max Brown is the guy that I think is most likely to be there. And here's the thing. I'm putting Max Brown as the guy here. Not that I'm penciling him in as a starter. He's just probably the most likely one. But Graham Mertz, if he has a good year, probably gone. Okay, if he doesn't have a good year, maybe. But then he's also not a foundational building block. So I don't want to put him there for 2024 because, again, he either has a good year and goes to the NFL or he doesn't have a good year and he's not a foundational building block, which is the same reason I don't have Jack Miller III as the guy listed because for Jack Miller III, you didn't win the battle in 2022. If you don't win the battle in 2023, you're probably not winning the battle in 2024. So that's why I didn't want to include him, whereas Max Brown, at least, you know, he's still young. He's lighting up spring practices right now. There's people actually considering him being quarterback one or two for this year, which is very possible, not likely, but possible. So Max Brown's the guy listed, and obviously he is not going to be thought of as a foundational building block from this point of view. Okay, looking at receiver, it's also a question mark where there's three positions in this foundational five that I did not list names specifically because I wrote for myself, like my little notes, I wrote multiple options, but none proven. So when we look at receiver, there's a ton of youth in this receiver room right now. And it's kind of all about, you know, who steps up this year to solidify themselves as the foundational building block next year. You've got the two most talked about younger receivers that we hear about all the time from Florida Gators fans and or from a lot of Florida Gators fans as guys that it's like, oh, well, I think this guy could step up. I think this guy could step up. It's two guys that last year I wanted them both to play more. Caleb Paydee Douglas and Marcus Burke. There is a outside receiver spot available right now. Okay. If one of those guys can grab it and take advantage of that opportunity, you can be looking at them as your foundational building block for next year. Whether or not we'll be comfortable with that, we won't know until the end of the season how they perform this year. So we don't know about that one. But you could also look at the 2023 recruiting class for that because you've got Andy Jean. You've got Eugene Wilson III. You've got Aiden Mizell. You've got three guys that came into this class, and Eugene Wilson III, no, is not on campus yet. He will be in the summer. But Eugene Wilson III, Andy Jean, and Aiden Mizell are all three guys in this recruiting class that we all clamored for, and or the huge majority of Gators fans were clamoring for. We were like, oh my God, these guys could be the guy for us. Like, they can all do that. So at receiver, it's a ton of youth, just who steps up. Offensive tackle, it's Austin Barber, again, for me. He will be draft eligible after this season, but I truly believe he will be back. I think he should be back. And he's one of those guys where I think that if he's not a first or second round projection, which he might not be, but if he's not a first or second round projection, I could see him coming back and saying, well, I'm going to get in that range. And I would assume NIL opportunities would flow in for him to justify coming back to college. Looking at pass rusher, multiple options, but none proven. Chris McClellan is probably the most likely for me. And this is one of those cases where I talked about Aaron Donald played on the interior. Do you not consider him a foundational building block? That could be Chris McClellan. I'm not saying he's going to be Aaron Donald, but that could be him as that pass rusher that really elevates your defense and takes you up to the next level. So Chris McClellan for me is the most likely, but then you also have to look at there's Justice Boone, there's Tyreek Sapp, there's Kelby Collins, there's TJ Searcy, there's Antoine Powell Ryland could be the guy at Jack. So pass rusher, you've got a lot of people who can step in. And the fun part about that is I just named, what, five or six people? So if you take those five or six and you put them in the four spots available on that front line, maybe one of them steps up, maybe two of them steps up. You can have multiple guys that address this position, which is why it's not a concern for me at all. But it is just something to note that for the foundational five, there is not a proven guy at that level. And that is why I am saying no for pass rusher. That's why I said no for receiver. And that's why I'm going to say no for corner, because corner is also different from pass rusher, because Florida doesn't have a ton of guys that are like right there. Devin Moore is the most likely. He is coming off an injury, but Devin Moore is the most likely for next year. If I'm not mistaken, Jason Marshall will have another year of eligibility. We'll see if he wants to take advantage of that and come back again, or if he's going to go to the NFL, but I would assume he's likely going NFL. But Devin Moore is there, and he's the most likely. You've also got Jakeem Jackson, who has been lighting up spring ball on the outside. You got Jakeem Jackson. You've got DeJon Johnson could be there. You've got Sharif Denson could be there. You've got, which I know Sharif Denson will be playing star, but you've got Aaron Gates could be there. And Aaron Gates is also expected to play star, but guess what? Only one of those guys really plays. So someone is likely going to be either a backup or maybe shift to the outside. So the verdict for on roster right now that you'll have for 2024, one out of five, I'm going to say minimum just because even if Austin Barber does declare, you have three that are multiple options, but none proven. One of those has to step up, right? So I'm going to say verdict right now, absolute minimum, one out of five. It's also important to note that you've got a ton of youth on this team in terms of both just quality and quantity. You've got a ton of guys who can step up to answer that call. And you can also feel free to look at the transfer portal to add in those guys. To wrap up today's show, we're talking about the 2024 recruiting class, which is obviously rather thin right now for the Florida Gators with just, what, four commits. So it's rather thin, but you've got your QB. You've got DJ Lagway. You've got arguably the best quarterback in the 2024 just recruiting cycle. Again, arguably, I think he's truly great. I am not going to pretend that I've watched the other 2024 QBs. And also for 2024, we are going to talk about this with John Garcia this week. So we'll talk about this foundational five and how Florida is looking to address those for 2024's recruiting class. So don't worry about that. But DJ Lagway is obviously the guy right here. I'm fully comfortable penciling him in as, yeah, foundational building block, you've got him. And I'm not saying that he's going to be amazing, but I'm saying you've got a top-ranked quarterback already committed with insane potential and a fantastic skill set. So yeah, I'm going to say that DJ Lagway is there for the foundational building block. I'm also going to tell you he's the only guy that I'm saying is here for the foundational building block. Is he going to be the only guy when it's all said and done? No, but right now he is. Wide receiver, none committed yet. Offensive tackle, none committed yet. Cornerback, none committed yet. Pass rusher is an interesting one. And no, I'm not going to say I'm not going to include off-ball linebackers or inside linebackers for pass rusher. I don't care if they're going to blitz 20% of the time, because if you're a pass rusher, you should be rushing the passer like 85, 95% of the time. So, no, I am not including any off-ball linebackers in that. I will say that for pass rusher, maybe Adarius Hayes is the guy, but the plan right now for him is to play inside linebacker. That's the expectation. He popped there. I know that there are quite a few people that project him to play inside linebacker, quite a few people that project him to play edge rusher. Right now, the plan is inside linebacker. So he's not there. So Florida does not have a pass rusher listed there. That just goes to say that a lot of question marks for the 2024 class, but it's also not something to worry about at all. I know myself and other Gators fans included, we like to get a little antsy about these things. It is incredibly important to remember that, one, we are very, very early in this 2024 recruiting class. Two, Florida has the most important building block already committed. Okay. Three, Florida's been getting visits and been working the recruiting trail from a lot of these guys for a lot of these positions to address these. Four, the summer is when this coaching staff annihilated on the recruiting trail last year. A lot of the damage they did was from June to the start of the season. So the summer was when this staff likes to eat on the recruiting trail. So this is not a cause for concern. Yeah, right now it doesn't look great to only have one of your five foundational building blocks committed, but you do have the most important one, and he is doing his damnedest to help get more of those foundational building blocks, and Florida's in on a lot of the other top building blocks here. So not a big concern for me, but that's just how it is at this moment, okay? That's just how it shakes out. Thanks for making Lockdown Gators your first listen of the day. Every day we're available daily and free wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll be back tomorrow to talk more Florida Gators football. I will also be at the Pro Day on Thursday, which is awesome. For your second listen, check out Locked On College Basketball, hosted by Isaac Shade and Andy Patton, where they give you everything. They've helped me make a ton of money by giving me tips. Like I've been saying, I've been killing March Madness. They're a big part of it. For Locked On Gators, I'm Brandon Olson. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at WNS_Brandon. Or have me blocked like some people do. Find all my written work with the whole nine sports, Giants, Country, and NFL 33. And I will see you all tomorrow.